Hey guys, welcome to the Salt Not Sweetener podcast. I'm your host, Danielle Townsend, and today we're going in on episode 21. And I wanted to start this podcast with reading you some scripture, and I'm going to read to you the end of chapter 23 in the book of Luke, starting in verse 50. It says here, "Now there was a man named Joseph from the Jewish town of Arimathea. And he was a member of the council, a good and righteous man, who had not consented to their decision and action, and he was looking for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus, and then he took it down and wrapped it in a linen shroud and laid him in a tomb cut in stone, where no one had ever been laid. And it was the day of preparation, and the Sabbath was beginning. The women who had come with him from Galilee followed and saw the tomb and how his body was laid, and they returned and prepared spices and ointments. On the Sabbath, they rested according to the commandment." Now, the Lord had me read this scripture a couple days ago, and y'all, this was very powerful for me at the time, because at the time when I was reading this scripture, there was something different I took out of it then versus what I'm taking out of it now. And what I had really taken out of it then was something that I felt the Lord was trying to remind me of and had been trying to remind me of for some time now. And that was that I needed to trust in His ability to raise up other people and move on other people's hearts. Y'all, you know, if you have listened to this podcast, I have a history growing up. I was hyper independent. I wanted to handle everything on my own. I wanted control. And that was one of the really hard things when giving my life to Christ was releasing the control that I thought I had over my life. Y'all, there was a time in my life when Jesus Christ literally told me to rely on Him for provision, to rely on Him for the provision to eat, to drink, the provision to relocate across the country. Like when God gave me all of these visions and said, "These are all the things that I plan to give you, and these are the things I plan to do in your life. These are promises I'm making to you, but these are things that I'm going to bring to you. These are not things you are going to bring up to yourself." Now, did the Lord call me to acts of obedience? Of course. And I've shared testimonies to that, to where God called me to do something and He blessed my act of obedience. But in the grand scheme of things, I didn't try to create any of those for myself. The Lord was cooking and the Lord worked in people's hearts and stirred people's hearts. Because y'all, when I received the provision I received, it was like off of the kindness and the good-heartedness of other people. God didn't make me get a 9 to 5 and like do all this extra work and do all these things to earn the provision to get the money I needed to move from California to Indiana. No, He had just called me to do an act of kindness and show the love and spread the gospel with a person and then moved on that person's heart who ended up blessing me and moving me. And God reminded me of that miracle that He worked when there appeared to be no way. And when I was reading that scripture, that is what I took from that. When I was reading about this man Joseph was seeking the kingdom of heaven. There's a reason why scripture tells us to seek first the kingdom of heaven and all of these things will be added on to you, right? When God gives you promises, when He gives you visions, when He gives you dreams, when He says like, "Hey, I intend to do this in your life one day," He's not saying, "I intend to do all these things. Now I want you to do everything you can to try to create it." No, what he wants you to do is He wants you to focus on your relationship with Him. He wants you to focus on growing and cultivating your relationship with the Heavenly Father. He wants you to focus on being more Christ-like, seeking first the kingdom of heaven, and trusting that these things will be added on to you as you are pursuing the Lord. Because when you're pursuing a relationship with Christ and you're pursuing to be more Christ-like and pursuing to live a life pleasing to the Lord, naturally, God is going to call you to do things. You're going to have acts of obedience, and He's going to move through those acts of obedience. Right? And we see that with this man Joseph. This man Joseph did not agree with Jesus Christ going to the cross. He did not agree with that decision to crucify Him We see that pointed out that like he was not in agreement with Pilate, he was not in agreement with these elder priests, he was not in agreement with this crowd that condemned Jesus. But we also see that he was seeking first the kingdom of heaven. And when he was seeking first the kingdom of heaven, he was led to do this act of kindness towards Jesus, which was to ask for his body. And once he received his body, to care for his body, to lay his body in a tomb, to cover it in that linen cloth. So when you are seeking first the kingdom of heaven, God is going to call you to acts of obedience. There are going to be things that the Lord places on your heart. There are going to be things that he stirs within you. And it is your responsibility to obey the Lord. Get your strength from him. Get your courage from him. Get your boldness from him. I can imagine that this Joseph guy may have been a little anxious in the situation. At least I feel like I would have been, right? He's literally going up to Pilate, the man who just condoned crucifying Jesus, and saying, "Hey, can I have his body? Can I care for his body?" Like, I feel like that would be a little intimidating, right? But we also see God must have softened Pilate's heart in that time, because Pilate could have easily said no. Pilate could have easily been like, "No, I'm going to keep the body. No, I want to do this with it." We know that Jesus, said that he was going to rise again on the third day. I would imagine Pilate would have wanted to keep Jesus's body like really close by, right? Like, God really had to have in that moment softened Pilate's heart in that way, worked in his heart, did something. I believe that God made a way, whatever that looked like. Because that's another thing that I took from this when I was reading that scripture the other day, was trust that God has already gone ahead of you. Right? This Joseph man had to trust that God had already gone ahead of him in that Pilate situation, that when he went to Pilate, God had already gone ahead. And we see Jesus didn't plan his own burial. He didn't go and pick out the tomb. He didn't set aside the cloth ahead of time. He didn't give all these game plans, and he knew his funeral was coming. He knew his death was coming. He knew his resurrection was coming. And he gave us a lot of prophecies for the future, and he gave us a lot of things to prepare for. He gave us a lot of warnings. He gave us a lot of clarity, right? But notice how this was the one thing he this was something that he didn't plan ahead for. And I believe that Jesus was entrusting this process and already knew that a way would be made. And that was really what I took out of that scripture the first time when I was rereading that a couple days ago, and I was led to that, was trust in God's ability to go ahead of myself. And you listening to this too, you need to hear that too. Trust in God's ability to go ahead of you. Maybe God is calling you to do something right now. Maybe he's calling you to reach out to a person. Maybe he's calling you to move to a place. Maybe he's calling you to start a new thing, start a new business, start a new relationship, start a new connection. Maybe he's calling you to leave something behind. Maybe he's calling you to have a hard conversation. If there is something that you feel God is calling you to do right now, and maybe you're fearful, maybe you're anxious, maybe you're worried, maybe you feel like, is that just extra drama? Is that extra conflict I don't need? Is that extra? Hear today that you need to trust that God has already gone ahead of you in this situation. I can't tell y'all how many times I felt God place it on my heart to go and say something to a person, to have a conversation, to do something. And then, like, once I do that thing and I'm talking to him, and they're like, "Oh my gosh, I was just praying about this." Or, "You know what? I actually feel like God has been speaking to me about this." Like, when their response actually reveals to me that God has been working way ahead. Where they're like, "Oh, God has actually been, I feel like I've been seeing a lot of scriptures about this, and I actually just read this in scripture last night, or I just had this situation happen." And I have that moment where it's kind of like I want to look up at the sky and be like, God, you really know what you're doing. It's up to us to trust in those nudges from the Lord, trust in those nudges that we are receiving from the Lord. Trust that He has already gone ahead. Trust that He has already made a way. So someone needs to hear that today. Pray for the strength from Him. Pray for the boldness from Him. Okay? If God is guiding you to it, He has already planned for whatever has happened. And this leads me to think about the story of Saul turned Paul, right? And when Saul had that encounter with the Heavenly Father and received the truth of Jesus Christ, at the same time, he was struck blind. And for, was it 3 days, I believe, he was fasting, he wasn't eating, and he was praying to God for healing. And while he was praying to God for healing, he was working on another man's heart. And an angel of the Lord came and spoke to that man and told that man, you need to go to Saul, who would become Paul, and pray for him. Put hands on him so that he may be healed. And this man even got reassurance that, like, Saul already knows you're coming. He's already expecting you. Someone needs to hear this today, listening to this podcast. Someone needed to hear that. That what if they're already expecting you? Whatever God has been guiding you to do, prepping you to do, leading you to do, what if God has already been speaking to that person too? What if God has already been speaking life into that situation? What if He has already been giving clarity where clarity is needed? What if He has already been moving things around where it is needed? Y'all, I will tell you about the most divine timing situation. There was a time when the Lord was leading me to a job. Okay, the Lord, I was really needing a job really bad. And this was after the Lord had relocated me, moved me back to Indiana, I got the provision. And I had finally gotten a little bit of stability. But I was praying to the Lord, I was like, Lord, I'm ready for consistent provision. And the situation I'm in, there's a lot of things going on, a lot of walls pressing in. And like, I'm ready to go back to work. And I was praying day in and day out for a job, and I did believe that the Lord intended for me to be placed somewhere. But I felt God answer me repeatedly. The answer is yes, but not yet. You will have an income, you will have a job, but it's not ready yet. And I wasn't ready yet. And in the waiting period, God was doing a work in me. God was really cultivating fruits of the Spirit. God was making me a person that would be good in the position I was in. Because honestly, if God had given me that position like a year or two, 3 years before, I would not have been a good steward over it compared to what I actually was. If God had given it to me earlier than He did, I would not have handled it correctly. I would have fumbled the bag, honestly. I feel like I would have fumbled the ball. So glory be to God that He's never early and He's never late. But when I tell y'all that the way He aligned it so perfectly, because by the time it was honestly a position that on paper wise I didn't have the qualifications for, and there probably would have been a lot of candidates hired before me. Honestly, the position I was going for, like I had no educational background in it. I had very little volunteer experience that could translate over or relate over. I didn't have the recommendations I would have needed. Like on paper, this was something that I was not at all qualified for, and something that like I probably shouldn't even get like a call back from. But God in His timing aligned it so perfectly. He number one, for me even finding that job, I didn't find it. That job was revealed to me. I had felt the Lord speak to me much earlier that this was the next step. the path wise. And I didn't believe him because I didn't have an educational background in it. I was like, are you really sure that like this is the general area you're calling me into next, Lord? Because I've never had a desire to go into that field. But if it's your will, make it happen. I've been praying for weeks before, like, God, if this is where you want me, if that's what you want me to do, open a door for it. And there was one day when there was a person I was speaking to church, and I felt the Lord call me just to introduce myself to that person and talk to that person a little bit. And I did, and they asked me to schedule a meeting just to talk with them more and get to know them a little bit, and I did. And in that meeting, that person found out that I was looking for work, and they were like, "Hey, there's a position at this place." I'm trying to be very vague with it because I try to keep things very private. But said, "There's a position at this place. Why don't you interview for it? Like, why don't you fill out an application, and maybe you'll get an interview. Just fill out an application. I'll take you over there next door. I'll introduce you." And I was like, "Oh wow, okay." And I really see this now, looking back, as like God really bringing the opportunity to me, God really opening up the door, because I wouldn't have been able to open up that door because that person was the best recommendation I could have honestly had. And I go in and I get an application and I interview, and I feel like I fumbled so bad in the interview. I had the worst anxiety ever. Like, I just, it wasn't good. I didn't do good in that interview. And I had to wait weeks to really get like confirmation of if I was hired or not, because I guess the references I put down weren't calling back. Like, everything seemed to be going awry or going astray. But I'll tell you, I ended up getting that job, and that job was an absolute blessing. It was a gift from God. And later on, I find out that God had really been working ahead in that situation at the time. God had been softening hearts. God had been working in that situation. I guess they had been waiting to hire someone in that position for a while. And I truly believe that them looking for a long time for a person to in that position did open them up to new candidates that may not have all the qualifications. So I believe if God would have brought me along earlier, I could have been rejected. They could have been waiting for someone with better qualifications. And I truly believe, looking back, that God placed me in at the right timing. The right people were put in that interview. The right people were put in my path. The right hearts were softened, and God just worked miraculously in that situation. And when I look back, that was nothing that I had to bring up for myself. Did God call me to take actions? Yes. He called me to be patient, number one, not to rush the process. He called me to wait on Him to open the door, and He did open that door. But He opened it through, there's an act of obedience. He gave me a nudge to go and talk to that person. Start an open line of communication, just saying, "Hey, my name's Danielle. Nice to meet you." And that was the act of obedience that God used to open up that door. He called me to fill out that application. I had to fill out that application. There were steps that the Lord called me to take, but as I took those steps, He blessed those acts of obedience. Y'all know that testimony I shared with you when God brought provision for me. God had moved to move from California to Indiana. God had called me. I felt Him put on my heart, it's better to give than it is to receive. And I felt called to give the last like $10 I had to this person I believed to be homeless on the side of the street. And I gave it to him. And that person ends up blessing me financially. Whoever you are listening to this podcast today, you need to hear this today. Listen to those nudges and trust that God is going to bless your obedience, and trust that He has already gone ahead of you in the situations that you're in. I've seen firsthand what it looks like when God has already gone ahead of you. Y'all, when I got hired in at that job, even though I didn't have any of the qualifications and I felt like I was literally learning on the job, I was told by multiple people, "We feel so blessed to have you here. Like, you are literally an answered prayer being here right now. Like, this is literally a blessing." Like, it. God will go ahead of you, because when I tell y'all that that job was everything I've been praying for, I've been praying to not feel like a number. I've been praying to be useful. I have been praying to serve. I have been praying to be able to do all these things, and God really opened up those doors. Glory be to God. But I had to be willing to obey. And honestly, that, like I said, that wasn't a path I would have at first picked for myself. But when I was trusting God and listening to God and stepped in, oh my gosh, I can see now that it was a lot better than a lot of directions I would have picked for myself. It helped cultivate my relationship with the Lord. It helped me step into purpose. It helped cultivate even more fruits of the Spirit. It helped reveal things. Like, God used this, yes, in so many different ways. And when I tell you all that, again, I can't stress enough that this wasn't the direction. When I went to school, when I went to college, this was not my degree major. This was not my volunteer field. This was not pay-wise, financially too. This wasn't one that my first thing I would go to, but God knew better than I did. And when I trusted him and obeyed him, he opened doors I could have never opened up for myself. He revealed to me things that I would have never seen. He did things in my life that I could have never done. So I'm telling y'all today to trust in the Lord's ability to go ahead of you and trust in what he has called you to do. And someone needs to hear this today too. You need to be preparing in the waiting period, because the waiting period is what God uses. He will still use that time. No minute is wasted with the Heavenly Father, but you have to be prepared to lock in. Okay. When I was still living in the middle of the desert in California, and I remember the night when it all clicked for me, when I was like laying down to go to sleep, and it had fully clicked for me, where that was the day when I realized, oh my gosh, the Lord is calling me to leave my entire life of sin behind. It was the night when I felt the conviction to throw away every tarot card I had, and to throw away, like, it was the night where I felt the 100% conviction of God is calling me to throw these things out and to not go back and trust in whatever his provision is. And like the next week after that, God was dropping heavy words on me. He was telling me that he was going to restore me. He told me that the things that I lost were going to be restored. He told me that he was going to relocate me. He told me that there was going to be a redemption in my life. And he made some pretty awesome promises to me. Okay. He gave me some big goals. And I want to pause here. Someone needs to hear that is listening to this podcast right now that God didn't bring you this far to leave you where you are. Okay. If he's gotten you this far, he's going to keep moving you forward. So you need to continue to put your faith and your trust in him. Because that was something that first showed me the mercy and the grace of the Heavenly Father, was I at that point had been so disobedient and had been doing everything my own way, but God was still protecting me. That was the first time in my life I looked around and realized, wow, like I was in serious danger. And like my life was It was the first time I looked around and it was like a fog had gone down, where I realized like how much even worse my situation could have been. I was so blessed that the Lord didn't let it get even worse than what it was, you know? So like I felt an overwhelming appreciation for his grace and his mercy that he had kept me alive, honestly, and just had taken care of me through what he had taken care of me through. Obviously, he didn't have to, and I was living a life so sinful and so displeasing to him that, like, honestly, he should have struck me down a long time ago beforehand. So the fact that every day he was still waking up and allowing me to move forward and allowing me to have another day was a blessing in itself. But I remember that when he had made those promises to me, I was like looking around, like, okay, let's go, let's go. And I'm gonna be real with y'all. He made me wait a little while. He didn't make me wait too long in that time period. But he made me wait a while. Okay, he made me. I went through, at this point, I had already been doing fasting, intermittent fasting for a couple weeks. And now this was the point where I had completely locked in. And for a couple weeks, every day. I was just reading scripture. I was reading scripture like 12 hours a day, y'all, because I wasn't scrolling on my phone. I wasn't doing anything like that. I was just focusing in on reading scripture, journaling, reflecting on it, and praying to the Lord. And He used that waiting time period to cultivate new things in me. You know, when God gives you a promise or gives you the things to look forward to, oftentimes our first reaction is we want to immediately jump into them. I know that was my reaction. I was like, okay, God, bring you say you're going to move me back from California to Indiana. Okay, bring the money, bring the provision. Let's go. Let's do it right now. And as much as I'm sure God probably loved the enthusiasm, I wasn't ready yet, because that journey back I was going to later on see required me to take leaps of faith and trust in the Lord's ability to make a way. And it was really a Jesus feeding the 5,000 moment, where the provision I had didn't appear to be enough to get me everything I needed and to get me across like 2,500 miles like that. And God multiplied what I had. Like, I don't know how to explain it other than like the gas in my car just didn't run out. And like, it was crazy, but I wouldn't have had that faith if in the weeks leading up to that, I was facing trials and I was facing tribulations. I was facing testing moments, and those tests produced things in me, produced faith, right? It produced patience. It produced self-control. There were things that needed to be produced before I could be led into that next situation. So while I was in that waiting period, I was faced with intrusive thoughts. I was faced with ideas and temptations to just go do it my own way. I was faced with times where it's something appeared to be presented and God told me to wait. Don't go for it yet. Don't grab it yet. Don't say anything yet. Be patient. Wait. Times when the Lord called me to place my faith and sow seeds and trust that He would do things with those seeds, trust in His ability to bring things up. So if you're in a waiting period right now, if God has given you visions, He's given you promises, and you're waiting, wait well. And the best way that you can wait is to, this was the prayer I remember praying to Him, where I was praying to Him saying like, Lord, I don't want anything in my life that is going to lead me away from you. So in this time period, reveal to me and remove anything that is not of you and is not bringing me closer to you. And only bring things into my life that are going to bring me closer to you, strengthen my discernment. I started praying that God changed my heart to where I desired what He had planned for me, to hate what He hates and to love what He loves. Like that was it. I was praying that every day of like, what do you need to shift in me today? What do you need to change in me today? And for a while, I actually adopted a mindset of understanding that like, if it wasn't here yet, it was because it wasn't God's timing. So if it hadn't happened yet, it was either I wasn't ready or that thing wasn't ready. And understanding and humbling myself, knowing that there is always a work that God can do in me, there is always an improvement He can make, there is always something that He can reveal to me, I was able to start sitting down and being a student consistently. I was at the Lord's feet just trying to be a student, saying, Lord, reveal to me what I need to see today. What is it in me you need to cultivate? What is it in me that you need to grow? And when the time came and that provision came, in just like a 2 week difference, I was completely different. So if you are awaiting, if you are in a waiting period, wait well. And that is, in my opinion, the best way you can wait is to be open and receptive, being in a humble state, recognizing that if it was God's timing for you to have it right now, God would make sure. Okay, He is not late, He is not early, but there is something that can be grown in you in this waiting period. Okay, there's nothing, and this is from experience, I'm telling you, worse that you can do in the waiting period than just trying to distract yourself with worldly things and just busyness. That's a thing that I know a lot of people do to distract their mind, is keep themselves busy. And we like to think of like healthy distractions, where it's like, okay, well, I'll just keep my mind busy with working all the time and volunteering all the time, or maybe like content creation if you're a content creator, or cleaning or doing all these things. And like, that's good. But we're supposed to be resting in Christ Jesus. And you know, the way to grow and the way to growth takes uncomfortability, right? In order to know you need to grow an area, you need to be able to identify that that area needs growth, that that area needs work. And that happens through prayer to the Lord, through scripture reading and meditating and reflecting. Okay, if you don't journal now, I'm gonna tell you, pick up a journal. Start working on journaling. Start working on, you know, when you read scripture, write down your thoughts, write down your reflection. If you feel like you've heard a word from the Lord, write that down. Okay, if just write down what's happened throughout your daily life and see how that compares to things that God has been calling you to read, or maybe things that God has been speaking of your life. It's crazy, y'all, how many times, like, I'm just writing down what happened today in my journal, and I start thinking, oh my gosh, God said something about something like this 2 weeks ago or 2 months ago. And I flip back and I'm like, oh wow, God was prepping me for this moment, or this is actually an answered prayer. I'm telling y'all right now to use the waiting period wisely. But I also want to share with y'all that when God tells you it's time to go, when God tells you it's time to make a move, it's time to make a move. And I want to share with y'all a moment of hesitation that I had. Okay? This was after the provision had came in. So it was a Wednesday that the provision that God had called me to plant that seed, where I had given that person $10. And at the end of that night, I ended up having like $100, because that person, a couple hours later, I've shared this testimony on here before, I believe, came up to me with an old lottery ticket that they found on the ground, dusty lottery ticket, scratch off, that hadn't been scratched yet. And, you know, they gave it to me and called me a lucky lady. And I scratched it off and it won $100. So I take it inside there's a gas station, or a truck stop, and I take it inside and cash it out. And I come outside looking for that person, just wanting to buy them a meal, feeling like it's the least I could do. I can't find them anywhere. So I finally go in the restaurant across the street, the fast food place, and I see that person in there. So I sow another seed where I buy them whatever meal they want. And it's like a $5 meal. We both eat, and they ask me what I'm doing. I tell them I'm, you know, waiting on provision to get back to Indiana, and I wasn't expecting anything from them. And come back out to my car, and there's some random person that walks up to me and just hands me $5 and basically says, like, a God bless you, and walks away. And I'm like, okay, God just gave me back the $5 I just spent on this person. That's wild. And then this person comes out and talks to me, and for a couple hours they tell me about all their hardships and what they're going through, and I just preach to them the word of the Lord. And, you know, I just share with them the gospel and share with them what the Lord has done in my life thus far and the dramatic changes that he's done in my life. And the next morning, this person comes to me with another $200. So, like, I have, like, and says, I want you to go back to Indiana. Like, go now. Like, go. So it's Thursday morning, and I now have like $300 I didn't have before. And honestly, when that $300 for buying all the gas I need, buying all the food I need, everything for 2,500 miles, that's really cutting it tight. And like when I was doing the math, I didn't feel like that math was math then. And I started hesitating, and I started spending all day Thursday planning out, like, okay, when I felt like the Lord was telling me, you need to go, just go. I was frozen. I started thinking, well, what route should I take? Last time I went through Colorado and through those mountains and everything. Should I go through Texas this time? Should I go through this time? And like, I felt the Lord like telling me, just go the way you came, like, just go. And I started trying to do all the math, and I started talking myself out of it. It was like, every time I'd feel like, okay, it's time to go, I'd start talking myself out of it. And I'd start saying, well, what if God's doing more? And I'd say, well, yeah, he gave me this provision, but like, what if he's waiting to bless me even more? And if I go now, what if I'm missing out on something bigger? Like, I all of a sudden lost appreciation for this miracle he did and the surety I'd had. I remember praying myself just days before, where I was like, Lord, if you give me the provision to go, I'll go. And I started thinking about that, where I was like, dang, I told the Lord, if he gave me the provision to go, I'll go. And I know this is the provision. But there's a little part of me saying, it could be better. There could be more. Let's wait on the better. Let's wait on the more. Let's wait. And when I tell y'all that the longer I waited, the more the temptation started coming in that were crazy. Like, so many people started popping out of the woodworks, randomly coming up to my car and coming up to me and like trying to talk to me and trying to everything. And these people weren't actually offering me anything, but they were like counterfeit offers. I don't know how to explain it, where each thing was like, it didn't sit right. It was sinful. It was like an attention I did not like having, and it made me more and more uncomfortable. And then there was an old man that came up to me and was like, "I've seen you over here a lot. Like, I'm telling you right now, you need to leave." Because it turns out he knows the man that gave me money, and he's like, "Get out, like, go, girl, go." And that he was saying that to me Friday morning, late morning, and it was Friday at like noon that I left and hit the road. And a couple hours later, I was driving through Vegas and heading back to Indiana and trusting that God would make a way, and He did make a way. But I remember Friday morning, I had woken up, and I've been woken up at like 3 o'clock in the morning, right? Because like I was sleeping in my car at a truck stop, and I look out my back window, and there's this big semi just parked behind me that says, "Heaven or hell, it's up to you." And I felt like the utmost conviction, where it was like, am I gonna trust in God? Am I gonna trust in His provision? Am I going to make this move by faith? Or am I gonna stay frozen out of fear and let the devil win this one? That was my heaven or hell. It was like, am I going to succumb to the fear, to the intrusive thoughts, to the there's a part of me that was still greedy, right? Of, well, I want it to be better, I want it to be more. I don't want to take a leap of faith. I don't want to have to, I want to know everything. I was part of me was waiting on God to give me all the hotels to stay at and all these things. But knowing dang well, I was just sleeping at like rest. I was pulling over at rest areas, crashing there, or stopping at a rest stop on the way home. I left on Friday, got back Sunday night. Slept in my car Friday night, Saturday night, just driving through. But I was telling myself, trying to convince myself that if I waited on God, it would be even better, and that it's like these leaps of faith were actually like not from God. Like my brain was working really weird. Like, I was like, well, if it was really from God, it would be like chef's kiss, everything would be perfect. And I got like a real humbling where I was like, no, this is a take a leap of faith moment and trust that the Lord is going to bless this. And this is actually a testimony in the works that you're going to share with people later. And it really did become a testimony to share with people later. I'm sharing it today with y'all. But yeah, I left Friday. And there was a lot of temptations and a lot of things. And what's crazy is when I tried to leave that day, I don't know how it was like I went to fill up my car with gas at like I think it was like 11, and for some reason that truck stop was more busy than it had ever been before, and I was waiting like 25 minutes in line just to pay for my gas. And then I realized that I didn't put enough in. I like didn't do the math right. So then I'm waiting like another 20 minutes to pay for my gas. And then when I'm getting ready to go, all of a sudden I have to pee so bad. So then I go back in, and there's like this big tour bus that just stops, and I'm waiting like another 20 minutes to go. And it's like all these delays keep being created, which I now view as like kind of spiritual warfare and like trying to create fear and trying to create doubt. Just that situation at that time was creating fear and doubt. But I'm open to tell y'all today that I hesitated. I hesitated out of fear and out of anxiety and out of worry and believing lies from the enemy and believing him when he was telling me, oh, it should be better than this. It should look better. Oh, since it's a leap of faith, it's not from God. When if I had read in my journal back, God had been prepping me like every single day. He was reminding me, it is going to be a leap of faith. You have to walk by faith, not by sight. You have to trust. I've been giving you these tests and tribulations and all these things to get you in a space where you will trust, where you can see how I'll move in your life. It makes me think of David. David didn't just show up to Goliath that day, and that being his first time he placed faith in the Lord. We see that before David fought Goliath, he fought bears and he fought lions. And David wasn't ripped like Solomon. He was a shepherd boy. It was God giving him the strength. It was God helping him. God helped him take down that bear. God helped him take down that lion. So that way, when it came time to face Goliath, David could say, God is with me, and I've seen God help me take down a bear, and I've seen God help me take down a lion. So I know if God is calling me, I've seen, David was able, and this isn't word for word from scripture. This is me paraphrasing right now, okay? But David was able to look back and say, you know what? God helped me take down the lion. God helped me take down the bear. If God is calling me to Goliath, he's going to help me take down Goliath too. He was able to confidently walk in, being able to put on the armor of God, leaving King Saul's armor behind and walking in with that slingshot. And even though David was talk, even though Goliath was laughing or talking his mess, David didn't allow that to create fear or doubt because he's seen already what God can do. Since he's seen what God can do, God had rapport with him. He put his faith in God, not what the enemy was trying to make him see around him. He walked by faith, not by sight in that moment. And y'all, I'm telling you, God will do that in your life. That waiting period is that prepping you. That waiting period is your bear, is your lion. So that way, when you face Goliath, you can say, I have seen God take this on. I've seen God work miracles. I've seen God make a way. I've seen God radically change things. I've seen God move mountains. So I know that he's going to do it in this situation too. I've seen God go ahead in these past situations. So I know he's going to go ahead in this situation. And I pray that this testimony is blessing y'all. You know, I don't think I have publicly shared that testimony of the hesitation that I had. Because sometimes, honestly, we don't want to talk about the hesitation. We want to share, yeah, God called me to make this move and I made it and like it all panned out. But I'm telling y'all, there was that day in between. And God had to really remind me. He's like, I felt such a heavy conviction. I feel called to go back to this, y'all. I felt a heavy conviction where God reminded me, he's like, hey, you told me in prayer. Like you told me if I gave you the provision, you would move by faith. So move by faith. And whoever you are listening to this today, did you say a prayer like that to God? Did you say, God, if you reveal this thing to me, God, if you move this mountain, God, if you bring in this provision, God, if you do this thing, I will make this move. I will do this thing. We need to be very careful with the promises and the oaths that we take. Someone needs to hear that right now, okay? Scripture tells us to be not to take oaths, like tells us to be very thoughtful. Let your yes be yes, let your no be no. But I'm telling y'all right now, when you make a covenant with the Lord, when you make an agreement with the Lord, you better stand by that covenant. You better stand by that agreement. God is graceful, God is merciful, yes, but you better stand on that covenant. You better stand on that agreement. And that was an agreement I came into with the Lord. That was a promise I made to him. I said, Lord, if you bring me this provision, I will move by faith. And God showed me grace. You know, I didn't go that very moment. I didn't go that very night. I didn't even go the next day. It took me like 48 hours or math, like 36 hours to go. He showed me grace and mercy during that time. He didn't let me stay comfortable in my disobedience. It was a very uncomfortable 36 hours where I was sitting on that provision and not doing anything with it. So y'all, honestly, I had no idea the direction this podcast was really going to go in when I started this episode. I just knew that I was called to record an episode today, to read that scripture and to trust that the Holy Spirit was going to guide me. And I was about to close out the podcast, and I had to pause for a minute because there is a warning that I feel being placed on my heart. And this was a warning that actually had to be spoken to me, during this time period too. I had received this warning multiple times. And Heavenly Father, Holy Spirit, please guide my words with this. I started in this pause, when I paused this podcast, I started reading a little bit of scripture from the book of Hosea. In chapter 11. And just to give you a little bit of background with the book of Hosea, here in my English Standard Version Bible, they actually give you just little summaries of each book. And I want to read to you real quick the summary of the book of Hosea. It says here, Hosea has been called the deathbed prophet of Israel because he was the last to prophesy before the northern kingdom fell to Assyria. His ministry followed a golden age in the northern kingdom, with peace and prosperity not seen since the days of Solomon. Unfortunately, with this prosperity came moral decay, and Israel forsook God to worship idols. So God instructed Hosea to marry a wife of whoredom. whose unfaithfulness to her husband would serve as an example of Israel's unfaithfulness to God. Hosea then explained God's complaint against Israel and warned of the punishment that would come unless the people returned to the Lord and remained faithful to him. Now, I do believe that the Heavenly Father is guiding me to read this to you and tie this in with how just a moment ago I was talking about the covenants and the promises that we make to the Lord, okay? And that we are supposed to take them seriously. And I do want to be thoughtful with the way that I word this, because these were warnings that I was receiving a lot, especially last year, when God was really telling me that he's like, when you receive this breakthrough, and my breakthrough was me getting out of the living situation I was in, receiving the provision to move back from California to Indiana. When I tell you that God did drastically change my life, like my life was drastically changed, but the Lord had me spend those weeks just reading scripture and just being at his feet. And every time I was tempted to go away from him, I was picking to go to him. And the Lord had warned me time and time again that when you are blessed, when you receive this thing, do not go away from me. Do not go astray. There are going to be so many temptations to fall away, to go astray, to go in opposite directions, but you need to stay rooted in me. You need to keep going back to me. And boy, was the Lord right. Because when I moved out, although my living situation drastically improved when I got back to Indiana, I was actually put in an environment that was not God-centered. I actually started having voices in my ears that were telling me not to pursue my relationship with God, that were making me feel guilty for pursuing my relationship with the Lord. I had voices telling me, like, but God would ask you to deny yourself, like, really, like, outwardly questioning God. I had a lot of past people coming in and past things popping up, you know, finally having provision and having the financial, if I wanted to, I could have started putting my money in things that were ungodly again. I could have easily gone back to the lifestyle I had before. There were so many temptations. And the Lord spent a long time really making sure, before he gave me that blessing or gave me that thing, he was making sure that I was in a space where I wasn't just going to immediately fall away or fall astray. Because God loves me so much that he would rather keep me in that needing position I was in because it kept me going to him than allowing me to have everything I needed and my heart to grow cold and fall away from him again. And we see that in that book of Hosea, right? I was led to start reading in chapter 11 when I paused this podcast for a minute, when I paused recording. And chapter 11 starts off with God saying his love for Israel, his love for his chosen people. You know, that he loved them and that they loved him, that as they grew older, they started turning away from him and they started turning to the world and, you know, they started worshiping these false idols and all of these things, and they became like an unfaithful wife. And that's how we should look at our relationship with the Lord. Honestly, we're in covenant with the Lord. No matter if you're a male or female, I'll say it this way, like, you look at the Lord as your spouse, where that's who you're married to. So we can't be entertaining the devil even part-time. You can't make these promises to the Lord and then go do something else because he's graceful and merciful. That's breaking that covenant. And that was a heavy one for me to really take, you know, like, my brain sometimes still grasping out of, like, oh, wow. But, like, you need to take your covenants as seriously as, and people don't even take marriage covenants seriously nowadays when they should be. Like, that is God, Heavenly Father. Like, we are the bride, okay? Christ, the bridegroom, the Heavenly Father, the bridegroom, like, someone needs to hear this today of take these covenants that you're making with the Lord seriously, okay, and do not fall away when you step into that promise, when you step into that blessing, and if you have found yourself falling away, it's time now to get back on track. What were the covenants you made with the Lord? And I'll tell you that the first step is to seek first the kingdom of heaven. Seek first your relationship with Christ. Start working on your relationship with Christ. Start working on pursuing first the kingdom of heaven. And trust that he will get you back on the path that you need to be on. As I'm telling y'all right now, there's... Gosh, we're sharing another testimony, okay? Okay. I didn't think I was going to share this testimony. I'm the perfect example of what happens when you break covenants, guys. because I broke covenants. I grew up just kind of like Israel here in chapter 11, where it says when they were young, they loved the Lord. I grew up going to church. I grew up singing really loud in the church. I grew up answering all the questions in my catechism classes. Like I've said before, I didn't have a serious relationship with Jesus. And like especially when I was getting older, I wasn't listening to the convictions. I wasn't feeling those convictions. I was not living a life pleasing to the Lord. I've talked about on here before. It was a really weird thing where it's like I would talk about God and I loved to learn about God and I saw God as a heavenly, like I believed in him, but I saw him and Jesus as very separate. And I never really had a relationship with Jesus. And I never really tried to build a relationship with Jesus. But when I was young, I took the covenants. When I was 8, I was baptized and I said I would try to live a life pleasing to the Lord. And I made all these promises. I was taking the sacraments every Sunday when I was it 17? I believe I was 17 years old and I got confirmed in the Catholic Church. And again, you make these agreements saying that you're gonna live a life, you're gonna pursue a relationship with Christ, and like you're gonna I've made these agreements saying like, oh yeah, I'm gonna pursue a relationship with the Lord. I'm gonna try to live a life pleasing to the Lord. Like I'm gonna set my mind on things above. And I did not do that, y'all. I went right back to sinful behaviors. I went right back to fornicating. I went right back to turning up. I went right back to gossiping. I went right back to being quick to anger. I went right back to all these things that were not. And I actually immediately stopped going to church. I didn't end up going for like 7 years. I didn't open up my Bible again. And I actually turned to New Age spirituality. I turned to tarot card reading. I turned to all those things. I did not keep my covenants with the Lord. There are multiple times I'd be praying to the Lord and being like, Lord, if you help me with this, if you help me through this, like I'll start going to church again. Like I'll do this. And I didn't. I didn't. I can't say, I'm not saying those prayers were answered immediately, but I do believe God was working. And God one day allowed me to be turned over to the consequences of my own actions, just like we see how he did with the people in the book of Jeremiah. Okay. I had to be turned over to the very things I turned away from God to please, So the tarot reading started biting me in the butt. The New Age spirituality started biting me in the butt. The things I once found comfort in. I used to find anxiety relief and stress relief in 420ing, and all of a sudden I started getting panic attacks every time I smoked. Like literally the things that I used to find comfort in, I could no longer find comfort in. The things I used to, it was kind of like that Jonah moment where, Jonah got on the boat and these people were helping him get away from God's calling. And then eventually when the storm finally got too bad and they had already known Jonah was the source of the problem, then they finally toss him overboard. That was what those things were for me. New Age spirituality, tarot card reading, substances, like all of these things were my escape. They were my control. They were my getaway car until they turned on me. God allowed those things to start like spoiling to where I could finally look around and be like, okay, like where's the good? What's the source of goodness? And I was able to see Jesus Christ as the source of goodness. He is the good. He is the answer. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. So I'm sharing that testimony with y'all today too, that like I can firsthand say I broke covenants with the Lord. And he gave me years, years before I was turned over. But even when I was turned over, he didn't leave me and he was open to me coming back to him. And he turned all of that into a testimony. All of it was turned into a testimony. Because now I am able to talk to people and understand people who are in New Age. I can understand people who are participating in witchcraft and divination and all of these things. I can understand how the devil is working. I understand the lies that they believe. Like I can empathize with. There are things that I wouldn't have believed if I hadn't seen them firsthand. I'm more, it was like the scales have fallen off my eyes to a lot of the ways that the devil moves in occultism and New Age spirituality that I wouldn't have seen before. I had no clue what angel numbers and putting your faith in angel numbers or manifesting or any of that, what I thought was all fun, silly stuff in middle school and high school. And now I look at it and I'm like, oh. There are things that, when people say to me now, like my discernment, I'm able to clock it when I wouldn't have been able to clock it in the past. God used these things to strengthen my discernment. God used these things to strengthen me. But I had to be willing to allow these things to be a lesson. I could have just like sulked and said like, oh, boo-hoo, went against God and I did all these sinful things. Like, I'm just gonna act like it never happened and try burying it. I could have done that, but that wouldn't have been helpful. And God, how's God gonna use that? How's God gonna use shame and embarrassment and upset? Those things aren't from God. God is the Redeemer. Jesus Christ is the Redeemer. So he took all these sinful things. He took these breaking covenants in the past, these breaking promises in the past, allowed me to experience consequence, learn from them, and has redeemed them. And now, instead of some embarrassing, awkward, shameful past situation, it's a testimony of how forgiving God is, how graceful he is, and how he can pick you up out of whatever pit you're in. And how repentance is key. And that Jesus Christ can do a lot with a repentant, humble heart. I'm talking to y'all today as someone who I've experienced God's anger. I've experienced the wrath. I have experienced him turning me over to the consequences of my own sin. I have experienced the mocking. I have experienced in that time period, there were people who were doing wicked things at me, who were rejoicing seeing I was suffering. So not only was I facing the consequences of my own actions, there were a lot of people watching me and laughing at me. There were a lot of people making up things about me. There were a lot of people seeing the knife already in me and twisting it harder. There were a lot of people already kicking me when I was down. There were people just mocking me. Like, mocking me. It's nowhere to compare to what Jesus Christ went through by any means, but the Lord did reveal to me. I remember at a time of journaling and just prayer that oftentimes before the breakthrough, there's a mocking that happens. And we see that happen with Jesus Christ when he was going to the cross. They were saying, Hail, King of the Jews, and spitting on him and taking his clothes and putting that crown of thorns on him. And in that moment, the devil appeared to be winning. The enemy appeared to be winning. His opposition appeared to be winning because they were allowed to hurt him and gloat over him and mock him and laugh at him and spit on him and do all these hurtful things to him. And he took it in that moment. But then he was resurrected. And in his resurrection, that conquered the devil. Okay, that secured victory for us as Christians who put our faith in Christ. And in that moment when he was lifted up, when he was resurrected, those mockers fell. Those mocking voices, we could see that they were not the victors. They were not the winners. They were the wicked. So the redemption, right? The resurrection, when Jesus Christ was lifted up, that shed a light on a lot of things. That shed a light on these people who were laughing, who were mocking, who were rejoicing in the suffering. And they were no longer seen as the people who had victory over Jesus. They were seen as the wicked people who tried to kill the Son of God. So whoever you are listening to, so if you are going through a stage where you are being mocked, understand that mocking and like humiliation rituals, embarrassment like that from the enemy often comes before the breakthrough. Because I was being heavily mocked, y'all. Like, but before God came through with the provision, and all of a sudden my life was changed, and all of a sudden even my appearance changed because my life situation changed. And the people who said I was never going to get out of the situation, and the people who believed I'd never be anything, and the people who were making up lies about how I got into the situation I was in, no longer could answer for these things. Because when Jesus Christ decided to, when the Heavenly Father decided it was my redemption time, when he decided to clean me up and I was a new creation in Christ, a lot of the lies and the deception started falling off. A lot of the mocking words fell flat because they were disproven. But y'all, I was allowed to experience that too, and that was a learning time for me. And oftentimes, like, and I know we don't have too much time to get into this today, but people who do not read scripture and who do not have a relationship with the Lord, are easily deceived. And when they see things like that, when they see people being allowed to attack, being allowed to mock, being allowed to do these things, they immediately assume that that means that the person being attacked or mocked, Jesus isn't with them or God isn't with them, and that is not always true. That isn't true. God is with every single one of us. God loves every single one of us. But God allows these things for a reason. And I know in my situation, God allowed these things to happen because number one, it was a wake-up call for me. It caught my attention. It got me back in touch with my empathy. It got me back in touch with honestly, like a humility I needed. It allowed me to have testimony, right? It stirred a lot of things within me, but it was a strengthening for me too, because it taught me how to react and how not to react. It taught me how to tune out things and listen to what the Lord has to say, how to take these intrusive thoughts captive and make them obedient to Christ, how to take these words from the enemy and make them obedient to Christ the Lord. The Lord allows these things because they're going to be training ground for you. They're going to be learning situations for you. Speaking from experience. And I have experienced God's great abounding love and mercy and grace. Because even after doing all of these things, after straying far from Him, y'all, I remember, and this was when I was in New Age, and it was the craziest thing, and this sticks with me so heavily. When I was in New Age, I was meditating all the time. And when you're in New Age and you're meditating, you're like trying to connect with spirit guides and you're trying to get like reach a higher level of consciousness and everything like that. And I will never forget, it was one night that I was meditating. I had a friend next to me who was also meditating. And I believe in this meditation, I had seen a biblically accurate angel. Meaning like it was like an eye with like a lot of big eyes. And I had ran away, right? Like I started running away from this thing. I was scared. I feared it. I started running away from it and ran to the top of a mountain. And when I got to the top of the mountain, that thing was there waiting on me. And I just remember it saying back to me, "What are you doing?" And at this time, I was in New Age spirituality, full on, tarot card reader, full on. And I had been learning all about Greek deities and Roman deities, and I had been wanting to learn about just, other gods and like other spiritualities and everything. And I remember it saying to me, this angel saying to me, "What are you doing?" And I said, "Oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm sharing this right now." And I remember saying back very honestly, "I'm wanting to learn about other gods. I'm wanting to learn about other deities. I'm opening my mind to them." And I just remember the angel saying, "Okay." And I right after that happened, I remember shooting up, like sitting up in that meditation, that friend at my time at that time looking at me like panicked, because I felt panicked. He was like, "What's going on? What's going on?" I explained what happened to him to me and in that meditation. And that appeared to be that. And I went on, I started learning more about other deities and other religions. But it's crazy how after that day, when I look back, a lot of things started to that used to just naturally work out fell off. And it was almost as if I saw the favor of God out of my life. It was as if I saw the favor of God had fallen away. I was so used to just everything works out and everything pans out. Maybe it wasn't beautiful, but like it was just working out. And I just, all of a sudden, the attacks of the enemy were prospering like I had never seen before. The weapons that were forming appeared to be prospering and things were falling out. And when I look back, I truly believe that was the moment where fully turned away from the Lord. And I felt the Lord bring me back to that moment before. And it's a hard moment for me to look back on and think of I can't believe I ever turned my back on the Heavenly Father. I can't believe. And that was truly the moment where because I see like months, years before, how God was just showing me grace on grace on grace on grace on grace. Sometimes it's years and years. It's not always just days, weeks, months of warning. Sometimes it's years. And I believe that happened in like, I would say that was like January. That was January or February. And then I ended up giving my life to the Lord in September. So it was less than a year period. But like everything, like all of a sudden after doing that, it had all started just crashing down. And I can't explain other than the favor of the Lord felt like it left my life. And that's something that I never planned to experience again in my life. And the Lord really made sure I was rooted in Him before He gave me any wiggle room again. Because at that point that He had me in that September of, this was 2024, this was only a year ago, y'all, September 2024, where that was the most that the Lord had ever had my attention in my entire life. The most willingly I had been at His feet, just wanting to follow Him and wanting to do His will. And that was honestly the closest I'd ever been to the Lord and the first time I ever felt like I was actually going to go to heaven in my life. Like that was the closest I'd ever felt to salvation. That was the first time I had ever truly experienced a relationship with Jesus Christ and truly seen God as a loving Heavenly Father and put my faith in Him. And I really felt like the Lord was prepared to keep me in that situation if that was the only way that I was going to be at His feet, because He would rather have me that way than have me in the world and apart from Him again. And He made sure that my faith was in Him. He made sure that I was at His feet. He made sure that there was a strong foundation that was not going to be shaken before He allowed me to even move an inch out of where I was. And believe me, He took me slowly. The past year has been baby step after baby step after baby step. Glory be to God. Because if He would have given me everything immediately at once, I honestly think I would have gotten overwhelmed and either would have thrown it away out of panic, grasped onto the Lord and threw everything away because I'd be too fearful that these things would lead me away. Or, you know, I could have grabbed onto those things and fell away, got caught up, not been able to steward over them. Well, I have no clue what would have happened. But glory be to God, He took me step by step. So I wasn't overwhelmed. I wasn't consumed. I was able to adapt and I was able to implement. God is so amazing for taking me slower. And you know, sometimes I felt like, God, we're moving too slow. I want it all now. But when I look back, glory be to God, He didn't give it all to me then, because I would have been so overwhelmed, so overloaded, and it just wouldn't have panned out the way it needed to pan out. And He made sure that He gave me each step He took me. I'll tell y'all that there were some times when I felt myself leaning a little bit like too far away from Him, where I started really leaning into these new routines and leaning into these new things. And like He would allow some things to come up that would cause me to come back to Him. I remember last year Him telling me that, you know, the enemy thinks, I remember writing it down in my journal, that the enemy, the devil, thinks that putting me in hard positions and putting me in situations where it appears to be no way out are ways to get me to fold and return back to my own ways. But those are actually the times of superpower, the times of miracles, because those are the times when I lean not into myself or into my own control, but I choose to lean into the Lord. I choose to walk by faith. I choose to lean into hope, because the Lord did reveal to me that even during that time of when I lost my that favor feeling with Him, that during that time period, I still had like, when everything appeared to be bad, I was still finding positivity in each day. Like I still adopted a when life gives you lemons mindset, and I was still like, you know what, God's gonna use these things, like these things are gonna work out, like this is happening for a reason. It'll all be over eventually. Like I still had that mindset, and that's something that was definitely very necessary of still keeping that gratitude and still keeping that optimism. I think I would have like drowned if I didn't have that gratitude. I would have gotten consumed. I would have gotten depressed. I would have gotten overrun. But it's when you're put in those times that like you cannot handle them yourself that you have two options, and that's to try to control and turn to the devil's tactics, or give it to the Lord and surrender it to him and watch what he can do. And over the past year, when God would introduce new things to my life and I would start getting overwhelmed, or I would get focused too much on those other things, he would allow things to happen, do what he needed to do to get me to focus on him again. Sometimes that looked like I would get sick, or I would just have something come up that would stress me out. And like, I would find myself anytime any of these things, I would be running to the scripture and I would be running to prayer and everything. I would be at the Lord's feet. And I truly believe that like he was allowing those things to happen because he knew in those time periods I was coming back to him. So praise God for the trials, for the tests, for the hardships, for the tribulations, because if they're bringing him, if they're bringing you back to his feet, they're being used for a good reason. Turn to the Lord in these times. Okay, someone needs to hear that today. The trials, the tests, the tribulations are meant to make you weary from the enemy. They're meant to wear you out. They're meant to break you down. They're meant to discourage you. But instead, take those as a sign to be at the Lord's feet. Remember that this is not your control. This is the Heavenly Father's control, but to obey him wherever he is leading you and guiding you. And I do feel these are the last of the testimonies to share today. I didn't expect this to be the direction the podcast is going in, but I'm so happy that this is the direction that we did go in. And I just want to pray for you as we close out this episode. So, dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you, I want to start by thanking you. Thank you for this platform, Heavenly Father, and thank you for the listeners. Thank you for the people who have tuned in. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for turning every single one of my tests into testimonies. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the trials, for the tests, for the tribulations of all of those who are listening to this podcast, because I know, Heavenly Father, that it is in your character that you will use these things for the good. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you reveal to those listening today what you are doing in their lives. I pray, Heavenly Father, that they have eyes to see and ears to hear of your goodness. I pray that the scabs fall off, Heavenly Father. I pray that they have a clarity, but I pray that they also have a peace that surpasses all understanding. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that they obey you and that they give you their yes. I pray, Heavenly Father, that they keep their covenants with you. And I pray that in times of hardship, in times of tribulation, that they turn to you and not to themselves, not to their own understanding, not to their control. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you bless them. I pray, Heavenly Father, that they each grow and develop testimonies of their own that they're going to share to bring other people closer to you and to glorify the goodness of God. In Jesus' name, I pray, amen. So thank you all so much for tuning in and listening to this episode. This was the Salt Not Sweetener podcast. I'm your host, Danielle Townsend. It has been a blessing talking to you. I will see you guys soon. Please subscribe so that way you don't miss the next episode. Share this with someone, anyone. Share it on Facebook, share it on your social media, wherever you share podcasts. Share it. Get the word out there. I don't advertise it very much, so your share does a lot. God bless.